radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Mauricio has a hit tonight in his last at bat. That kept a hitting streak alive. This ball into left center. Isaac Collins makes the call on the catch, and the Brewers are victorious tonight 5-1. Taking the first game of this three-game series. The Astros now 1-3 on the road trip. And limited to just one run in their last three tries here in Milwaukee going back to 2023.
So we're back to baseball. And I guess, after focusing for much of the last couple of days on the Houston Rockets and their Western Conference playoff series against the Golden State Warriors, we are returning to a 500 baseball team that can't beat teams on the road. Huh. Interesting. You know, we ask this question every single day of the year about our 2025 Houston Astros. The question that we consistently ask is, are the Houston Astros what?
We are built for this.
Not last night. What they are built for of late is a lot of singles, not a lot of extra base hits, and absolutely diddly poo in situations where they could potentially score runs. Three runs or fewer in 20 of their last 34 games. Per FanGraphs, while they are doing all right in terms of hitting with runners in scoring position, 251 average, which is 15th, a 711 OPS, which is 16th, FanGraphs says that despite having the seventh most played appearances this year with the bases loaded, 39, they are hitting 114, dead last, with an OPS of 357. 29th. That ain't built for it. Making matters worse, one of the guys who has really been struggling in those spots, the birthday man himself, Jose Altuve. Altuve's been struggling. We're not talking about that. We're focusing on Christian Walker. But Altuve has not been looking so good the last couple of games. And look, he's one of those guys who, you know, should eventually bust out of this slump. But the 35-year-old, as of today, if you take a look over the last couple of games, it has not been going so hot. To be specific, when it comes to Jose Altuve, over the past week, we're talking about a guy. Why is this pop-up getting in the way? We're talking about a guy who is 4 for his last 21. Sure, there's been a couple of doubles, but he's not doing so much. So it's not looking so good, but Joe Espada is constantly a chipper voice of optimism and reason in the Astros clubhouse. Here he was after last night's 3-1 loss to the Milwaukee Brewers.
We're never gonna score.
Oh, wow. Honestly, things have changed a little bit for Joe Espada from a voice perspective. We're never gonna score. That's how I feel right now. That's how I feel. And making matters worse, Yordan Alvarez, he's on the IL. Crap? I get it. There's a lot of season left. It's May. They're ahead of schedule compared to last year. Blah, 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 blah. But I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit like Beavis and or Butthead. I'm not sure which one's which. They're honestly the same to me. Now that Yordan, who was scratched from the lineup over the weekend, is dealing with inflammation in his right hand that has him moved to the 15-day IL. What does that mean with the Astros and their training staff? You never know. But as astutely pointed out by Jeremy Branham, Yordan Alvarez has quite the track record when it comes to rando injuries. An IL stint for an inflamed hand. That was when Dusty Baker did not know which hand he was dealing with that was inflamed. He left the game because of fireworks smoke. He left Tampa because of a bad pillow. And this inflamed hand doesn't require imaging, but does require an injured list stint. How does that work? I mean, it is the Astros training staff, Sean Mapes, behind the glass. It is their medical staff. It's always a roller coaster with those guys, much like it is with Yordan's health.
Can I just say, like, can we put some imaging on him just in case?
Right. Why not?
Like, why are we so close? I mean,
does it cost money?
I mean, it probably costs some amount of money.
But does it put them over the luxury tax threshold or something? Like, what are we penny pitching for? It's Yordan Alvarez. What are we doing?
No, and it's not like they had a notable position player, one of the most important bats of their lineup last year that was, I won't say misdiagnosed, but was perhaps, no, misdiagnosed.
Let's just call it
bone bruise.
We are not doctors, you know?
No.
To quote Jen Psaki talking about how she did not know that Joe Biden was all of a sudden a little loosey-goosey just the other day. We are not doctors. However, we do think that you should do your due diligence with your best hitter.
Especially like right after the year where a guy had a bone bruise.
Yeah.
Was on the 10-day DL and was out for 3 months.
Yeah!
I don't know. Maybe just be a little bit more careful.
Because obviously Kyle Tucker, who Sean was just talking about right there, his bone bruise was a fracture, which is what doctors call it, because there's no such thing as a bone bruise. I learned this because my sister is a doctor. Do the Astros have doctors? Or is it Beavis and Butthead who are operating? Inflamed hand. Wonder where he got that from. I mean, the texter points out from the 713, Alvarez was hurt at the end of last year, and now this could be a total offseason botch job by the Astros medical staff. Again, I mean, would we be surprised by that? So, look, they're 17-17. They're not hitting, and they've ruined Jose Altuve's birthday because Yordan is hurt, and Altuve is not getting things done. Are things going to get better? F if I know, but here is actually Joe Espada talking about their struggles to score.
We got people on base. We got 9 hits. We got the sixth inning. We had an opportunity there to capitalize, and we just got to, you know, relax and you know, let the game come to us. I think sometimes we tried hard, trying to get a big hit, trying to come through for our team, you know. So this offense is going to explode here pretty soon. We just got to stay positive.
Stay positive. I don't like being told to stay positive. Whenever you tell me to stay positive, I'm going to get negative. If you told me to say, like, oh, we're effed, I'd be like, actually, you know what? Maybe we're not. This is classic sports talk radio host syndrome. I have to zag, but do not tell me to be positive, Joe, okay? You could be positive, but you don't say that you're going to be positive. I don't want to hear it. La, 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 la. I don't want to hear it. Because it just makes me feel like, we're never going to score. Damn it. We're never going to score. Try to score. Here's more war. Joe Espada talking about how things are going to get better. He was talking about the bases loaded numbers that the Astros have, which are, as I laid out a little bit before, the worst in baseball.
It becomes an emotional at-bat, the magnitude of how big the spot is. And, you know, I've seen our guys go through moments where we try to do much, but I also seen our guys when they relax and they could put really good at-bats in moments like those. So we just got to be patient, and the big hit is going to fall in there. We just got to continue to at least keep loading the bases, keep, you know, putting traffic out there.
Are they too emotional at the plate? Do they all need to go the Cam Smith route? We talked about this leading up to the year. Cam Smith listens to Bob Marley. I know, there's an implication attached to listening to Bob Marley. We're not making that, but perhaps if the Astros are a little less emotional at the plate, I don't know, they wouldn't be the worst team in baseball with the bases loaded. They are. Seventh most opportunities. It's been a pretty big sample size. They're dead last in average. They are 29th in slugging. It is bad. But Joe Espada is staying positive. Here's more Joe Espada saying, trust me, I'm not a doctor, but I am positive.
As long as the quality is there, I'm fine. Because I know that we're going to get some big hits. You know, our offense has not gotten hot yet, and we playing 500 baseball. Our pitching is doing a really good job. Our bullpen is doing a really phenomenal job keeping us in game. We just got to be patient and continue to move forward and continue to fight because this will turn around. We'll get hot here soon.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. We're not there. Ole, 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 ole. With the bases loaded, we're not hot. 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. At Sean A. Mapes behind the glass, I'm at Gallant says, if you want to get in touch with us on X and or Twitter, whatever you call it, if you want to respond to that, it's on the table. I'm not feeling great about the Astros offense. We're never going to score. Can you talk me off the ledge? Can you talk yourself off the ledge? Also, have the Astros committed medical malpractice? Again, that's all on the table on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Astros fell yesterday to the Milwaukee Brewers, 3-1, and their struggles at the plate continue as they are now at 500. Meanwhile, of all teams, did you see that the Seattle Mariners are one of the hottest offenses in all of baseball for the first time seemingly ever? That's something to keep an eye on. They're looking all right. And they have the pitching. You want to jump in on the most interactive sports talk show in town? You can. Some commentary about the Astros and their struggles at the plate on YouTube. At ESPN Houston, BVB09 says, the Astros are a mediocre team, but not only that, freaking boring-ass team to watch. They look like they are clocking in at a bad job they hate. Damn, that is a scathing indictment. I'm not going to go that far. I just am frustrated with the lack of offense. I mean, between the Astros and the Texans this entire past season and the Rockets in these playoffs, I like that we've got a mentality as a defense first town with pitching and fielding and high energy basketball wise and swarming football wise. But I don't know. I'd like to score, you know? I feel like Beavis on that bus. I want to score. Please. Score. Runs. Baskets. Three-point shots. The touchdowns. I want to score. I mean, off the field? Oh, things are good. RiseHealth.com. R-I-I-Z-E Health.com. Promo code 975. But in the sports side of things, in the arena of battle, nothing's happening. There's no scoring. And I feel like I was when I was a virgin leading up to my late. What was it? It was like right after I turned 20, actually. Yeah. I was late to the game. More commentary.
Paul, oh, wow. You had sex? Unbelievable. With who? Bazinga.
Some more text here. 713-780-3776 to call. To text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Why is the mentality for the Astros offense, oh, we'll get hot? Why can't you just be good enough to score runs? Try and fix it. Don't wait around for a magical baseball god to let you all of a sudden get hot and score. The way that Joe Espada described it after the game, and to be fair, I do think he's correct. They have taken a better approach at the plate to this point. They have been more patient. They're not swinging at everything like they did last year. They're forcing more pitches. The problem is they're just not hitting in the most important situations. Runners in scoring position, they're actually not that bad, but given what this team is, we expect more out of them. And with the bases loaded, ditto, don't be the worst team in baseball with the bases loaded. That's what they are right now, Sean Mapes behind the glass.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
They'll be fine?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think, or maybe they're so screwed. I don't know.
Wow. Damn, Sean.
They're either fined or so screwed.
The duality of sports takes.
Yeah.
I can tell you're really thrilled to be back into the thick of baseball season.
No. And it's like exactly where we left them off, where it's like disappointing, but also 500.
You're hoping to leave for a little bit and come back and be like, here we go. All right.
I just wanted to be the Astros that I grew up on. And when I say grew up on, I mean the ones that were
that we started paying attention
when I was in my 20s.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I feel like.
And they were just winning 100 games every year. Can we go back to that? This Astros team, like, they need Angels to win the pennant, you know?
Yeah.
But they can't help win the final game, the Angels.
That's true. And, I mean, listen, the Angels might be doing poorly in the American League West.
Not the Angels I was talking
about. I know.
I was talking about the ones in the outfield.
Oh, well, I'd like some Angels in the outfield. The Angels in the AL West, last place. But the A's, who literally do not have a home in the AL West, are ahead of you in the AL West, as Grinding Coffee and
That's
Whiskey
tough.
Points out on the Twitch.
That's tough.
That's embarrassing. I'm sorry. They don't have a home. They're homeless. Like many folks that live in the area that they used to play in, okay? Just a factual thing. That's not a shot. It's a fact. And they are more homeless than those people right now. They don't have a team name, for God's sakes, as far as their location. They're just Athletics. I don't even think they're the Athletics, because there's probably trademark infringement that broke-ass organization would not get into a legal battle with the people who own the New York Times and on top of that own the Athletic. They're not doing that. John Fisher, and they're winning! From the 281, Paul, you can't be that frustrated. You don't even watch a baseball game, LOL. I mean, I have it on the small TV because the Astros get small TV treatment when they're not doing so hot. I was watching the NBA playoffs last night. I'm a little upset about my Celtics missing 45 three-point shots. That wasn't fun. I was like, wait a second. Were the Rockets two? This is what I'm stuck with. It's just teams that can't hit an effing three. You're going to lose to the choking-ass bum Knicks who tried to give it away after the Celtics gave it away? Ugh.
Don't worry. Game two, they'll make their shots.
Mm.
I know they missed them all last game. Not all of them, but they missed the most in NBA history. But next game, they're going to make them. Just relax.
Are you Joe Espada? You sound like Joe Espada.
Just relax.
Okay.
Let's score.
They're going to come. We're getting good looks.
They are getting good looks.
Jesus, Jason Tatum.
I believe more in the Celtics to make threes than the Astros are going to become an awesome runners in scoring position team.
I just wanted to sweep because, for those who don't know, I went to school in Syracuse, New York, and I have some Knicks fan friends, and I knew exactly what would happen. As soon as it went final, eyeball emoji in the group chat. And I basically, my defense mechanism was, hey, remember when Kevin Harlan said that the Knicks are one of the most historic organizations in the same breath as the Boston Celtics in the same sentence? That was funny, huh? And then we got into a back and forth about, are the Knicks actually important to the history of the NBA? Which I would argue they're not.
Probably not. He's
like,
recently.
Well, they're in one of the biggest cities. And I was like, yes. And in spite of all of that, what are they?
Yeah. It's not good when every win that they have in the second round immediately gets put into, like, is this the best New York Knicks team since 1999?
Well, that's what I was talking about with him. I was like, so you guys were fodder for the Bulls and then the Rockets. Like, that's when you were at your best, because the real Knicks fans talk about the two championships they won in the 70s when no one cared about the NBA. You think, you know, I know a lot of the baseball people listening right now, you're not the biggest fans of the NBA. People used to truly not care about the NBA.
They're on tape delay.
And
the games are on tape delay.
And Knicks fans talk about that like it was the greatest time ever. And I was like, well, okay, you must have had to go to the Garden to watch the games. That's why you like it so much. Some comments here. BVB09 on YouTube says, every bases loaded situation has its own story. Do not quote Brock Osweiler
that is
to
true.
Me.
That is
do not,
true.
For those who don't know, do we have that drop, John?
I can find
it. Okay, cool. But we'll play that at some point in the next couple of minutes. Also from the 409, what do the Astros, Rockets, Texans, Red Zone, and Pauly G's love life have in common? Unable to score. I am immune from this now. I'm not. Listen, here's the date update. I'm very happy. That's the date update. I am doing better than the Astros and the Rockets and the Texans. That's all I'm going to say, okay? Don't want to toot my own horn a little bit too much, but and I'm not going to finish what the thought that was just going through my mind.
Yeah, don't toot your own horn.
There's a lot of horn tooting going on, yeah. You know? I'm not about to say
don't
that.
Want hand inflammation.
Yeah, it's not hand inflammation, baby. From the 409, time to wake up. You are looking for what this team was, not what it is. Damn, don't say that. Come on.
I mean, it's kind of what they were last year too, the year before.
Well, they're doing better than they. Listen, you're.
They're just not that good. I don't know what we're. They're just not that good.
Shh, we're not saying that. Look how cool I look in my new El Tiempo Astros hat.
I mean, they got the merch game.
The merch game's strong. Space City Uni's strong. They look good. Except for with the bases loaded and with runners in scoring position.
They look less good.
They
when
do
less good. When Yiner Diaz is striking out.
Or when you're losing to the Milwaukee Brewers. A text. Paul, did you pick up your El Tiempo Astros cap yet? I literally picked it up 30 minutes after I was able to first pick it up. I was one of the first to get it. And then I was showing it off to some friends and they were like, eh, whatever. And I'm like, what? We are here all the time. Are you serious? How dare you? How dare you disparage LT?
That's the funniest reaction.
Yeah. And I was like getting in arguments with one of my friends about whether or not it was green or light blue. I'm like, what is this, Yanny and Laurel? Or that stupid dress that was blue or gold? F this. Some more comments here. Here's some thoughts on the Astros training staff. By the way, Yordan Alvarez on the injured list, so the offense might not be getting better anytime soon. Rate the joke, okay? Personally, I don't think it's a great one.
Oh, don't taint the jury, but okay.
Of course the Astros have a team doctor. The only problem is that it is a gynecologist. Thumb down.
Do you get it?
It's disparaging gynecologists. Listen, no. someone's got to look at those.
Yeah, it's not their area of expertise, it's hands.
Someone's got to look at them. I remember once I got grounded because my mom found a Patriots cheerleaders swimsuit calendar underneath my bed. And then she asked me point blank, Paul, do you like looking at, you know, the thing? And I was like, what do you think? And then I got in trouble and the door was taken off the hinge for a month. Classic teenager, huh?
What do you think?
It was a funny answer.
It is, and it's.
But I lost a door for that.
It's a little bit of like if it was two normal people, you know, two like people in equal footing having this conversation. Like, yeah, what do you think? But it's not something you can say to your mom.
From the 832, Chris Edumbel's standing up for my off the field activities. Chris Edumbel's the man, by the way. Easy. Hell yeah. The Rockets didn't get past first. Paul, are you saying you made it to second? I have no comment on the matter.
Whoa.
But I have no comment. Okay? I'm just saying I should not be doing better than the Astros and Rockets. I shouldn't.
No.
I am, though. Factually.
No. Houston Cougars, too.
Yeah. Well, at least, listen, Houston Cougars are the number two team in the country. So
that is true.
I am not the number two most eligible bachelor in the country. You know? Anyway. Paul Galancho, most interactive sports talk show in town. From the 832, the Astros training staff must stay at a Holiday Inn Express during road games. I mean, if they did, I would understand why 100% the service is so bad for the Astros. I mean, if they were cheaping out on the road, and I'm not staying in the team hotel, I'm at like a, yeah, Motel 6. Nothing against Motel 6. It gets the job done. But, you know, I ain't no soft boy. I'll stay in a Motel 6. Just not going to bring somebody to a Motel 6 because there's going to be an implication there. But, yeah, if that's what they're dealing with, I would understand why they're so bad, you know? Anyway, the Paul Galancho, most interactive sports talk show in town, the 832. Paul, even your mom was questioning what gender you'd be attached to. No, my mom once said this to my sister. And again, this is not me tooting my own horn as we talk about horn tooting. My mom once said this to a doctor, like as my sister was about to have her first child. I don't know why she said this, because she's also told me I'm running out of options point blank. But she once told like just a random stranger, my son's a bit of a player. What? Mother, not cool, okay? But anyway, we're talking way too much about me, huh? Because here's the problem. I'm doing better than the Astros offense. I'm doing better than the Rockets offense. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. Up next, everything you might have missed over the weekend in sports, rapid fire, we get through it. Lance McCullers, back. Hunter Brown, robbed. Ahmed Thompson, him. James Harden, donezo. All of it. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell. Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it.
Everything you might have missed over the weekend in sports. Lance McCullers, back! Not bad! Not expecting too much out of him in his return, but not bad! Will he last the entirety of the year? Here's what I'm going to do. Because I like Lance McCullers, and I think some of you guys are unfair with him. If Lance McCullers does not make it to the end of the year, do you know who I'm blaming that on? The Astros, not on Lance McCullers. I'm blaming it on the training staff and the medical staff, which might be the same thing. Sorry, training and medical staff, you guys are a very convenient scapegoat because you're faceless. That's the key to life. Faceless scapegoats to blame all of your problems on. You'll always feel like you're getting railroaded by something that you can't quite find. And then once you accept that you can only control what you can control, you're going to do well. Here's the problem. I can't do that. Hunter Brown, he got robbed. He got robbed for American League Pitcher of the Month due to a bunch of, in what I would say is, liberal BS. Yes, because a New Yorker, Max Fried, won American League Pitcher of the Month despite having less, despite Hunter Brown having a better WAR, a better walks hits per innings pitched, a better FIP, don't know what that means, a better K through nine, a better walk through nine, and a better hit through nine. Hunter Brown was robbed. I guess the only difference is that Max Fried was 5-0. Helps when you have an offense that scores. Why can't the Astros score? We're never going to score. And Hunter Brown just 4-1. But I think that this is a bunch of liberal BS. Shout out to Ari Alexander of Channel 2 for pointing out all of that with a cute little video package. Hell yeah. It's on Channel 2 on Sunday night. Shout out to Randy McIlvoy, my dog. Amen Thompson. He's him. This is what Steph Curry had to say about Thompson after the Rockets were vanquished by the Golden State Warriors Sunday night.
You kind of saw him develop in front of everybody's eyes. I know people who watched the Rockets play, you know, night in, night out for the last 2 years have seen the potential, seen the raw athleticism, the hunger, and he's a dog. He showed all seven games. And he's going to be a problem for sure. You know, he's going to try to develop his game, especially offensively. But defensively, he's, you know, a freak athlete. And I think he loves the challenge and loves to be in the fight. So, yeah, he was tough all series. And it's kind of crazy that the old man, you know, got it done, though.
Yeah, Steph had to flex on it at the very end of it. But Amen Thompson, dog, could he play for the Houston Texans? Confirmed, yes. Because the Texans? Dogs. Texans, swarm. Amen Thompson, swarm. Amen Thompson, dog. James Harden, donezo. Oh, God. Somebody got me going. You know, this is the kind of content that me in my mid-30s, this is the kind of content that my mom would consider to be something that's worth taking the door off its hinge for. A guy by the name of Josh Eberle put together a thread of all of the times that James Harden has come up short in the NBA playoffs. It is a 15-part thread. Let's go through it because, hell yeah, dude. 2012, first NBA Finals. Shoots 37.5% and doesn't score in double digits in 3 of the 5 games. 2012, his first playoff series as a Rocket. Game 4, he turns the ball over 10 times. They get to game five, not because of Harden, because of Chandler Parsons, Rockets legend. 2015, down 3-2 to the Clippers. Harden's playing poorly. He's minus 21, gets benched. Rockets come back and win in game six. 2015, against the Warriors, down 3-1 and facing elimination. Harden scores 14 points and turns the ball over 12 times. National media spends a week debating whether he was tired and if the minutes load was too much leading into the series. 2017, Rockets, Spurs. Rockets lose game five in overtime. Kawhi Leonard is hurt in that game. James Harden played in that game. He played well. Game six, he shot 18%, turned it over six times. Scored just 10 points. Rockets lose the closeout game by 39. This thread keeps going. At Josh Eberle, if you want to revel in Harden's struggles, which also happened at the college basketball level. I do have to say, though, this was a little bit frustrating to see. Jalen Green shooting in non-game two games in this Rockets-Warriors series, per Sean Pendergast, 19 of 61. James Harden shooting in his last five eliminations games, 19 of 61. Uh-oh! C.J. Stroud, hey! He was at Rockets-Warriors Game 7. He shot a free throw before the game began. He missed. I thought he was good at basketball. I thought he was a multi-sport athlete. I think that C.J. Stroud's, you know, been a little too focused on the NBA this offseason. We've seen him at a lot of different basketball games. Hey, let's focus on ball. Let's focus on fixing the offense. Let's focus on scoring, because we're never going to score. In case you missed it, continues. I don't know how to pronounce Sovereignty, but Sovereignty beat journalism to win the Kentucky Derby. And guess who was there? Ted Cruz. That's why he wasn't at Game 7. We got to stop blaming Ted Cruz, temporarily, for Houston sports failures. Ted Cruz, not at Rockets-Warriors Game 7. I looked. People asked. I saw a Photoshop. It was a bad one online that everyone believed because everyone buys into all Photoshops these days because they're getting pretty good. But this one wasn't that good. He was not at Game 7 like a lot of people suggested because he was still, I believe, in Kentucky after the Kentucky Derby where he saw journalism defeated by Sovereignty, which, again, I do not know if I'm pronouncing it right, and I don't ever care to figure out the pronunciation of it because I hope to never say that word again. By the way, apparently every horse in the Kentucky Derby was related to Secretariat. Shout out to Secretariat, who apparently is the father of our country, like Genghis Khan was once the father of the modern world in like the 1400s or so. Not the modern world. I guess it's like post-Middle Ages.
It was modern at the time.
Definitely.
Also, the 1400s. That was modern.
Genghis Khan did more for global warming than any climate change activist who's thrown oil on a painting or has glued themselves to like the floor of a tennis match. Because he killed so many people. The temperature of the world shrunk by 1 degree. I guess we can measure that. I don't know how. Anyway, that's too much history. In case you missed it, what else did you miss? Greg Popovich. He's moving upstairs with the San Antonio Spurs, and then he was walked away from a podium after he said, "I'm El Jefe now," by both Tim Duncan, who's got like a top knot looking thing, which actually is pretty impressive. He's really such an island guy. And then Manu Ginobili, they walked him off like that meme that you've seen online of Splinter from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as an old man being walked to, I don't know, a nursing home. "Hey, Grandpa, let's get you to bed." But they reenacted that. Lakers, guess what? The reason that they lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves? Injuries. Or at least that's sort of the narrative they're putting out there. LeBron James, who was dealing with an injury that, per this ridiculous report by Dave McMenamin, that would have kept him out for 3 to 5 weeks getting recovery, a grade 2 MCL sprain. Yeah, he looked a little old in that series, but we're putting this out after the fact. Do we need to? LeBron's 40. No one thought LeBron played poorly in that series. No one thought that. They all thought Luka was a fatty boombatty. We would like to see that Luka was dealing with something like that if you're a Lakers fan. It was just unnecessary to say that, hey, he played through an injury. You know who plays through injuries in the NBA playoffs? The majority of players in the NBA playoffs. The majority of them play through it. We did not need to put this out. Did you see also Austin Reeves was playing through a sprained toe? Oh, no, that's so hard. A left big toe sprain. He was supposed to miss 2 to 4 weeks, and he played.
When Austin Reeves is doing the after the season.
Everyone's doing it now.
Yeah, it's like, all right, guys, let's chill out. I'm glad we haven't heard about, you know, Fred VanVleet was dealing with the left wrist injury.
Right. I know. I don't want to hear it. Listen, if you're playing in the playoffs, as opposed to, you know, doing the load management thing, like, that's what's expected. You're probably dealing with something. Yeah, it's a long slate of games. But do I need to hear about it? Hockey players never brag about this stuff. By the way, LeBron posted to social media, like, almost to further remind people, like, hey, guys, I'm hurt. This update he posted on X, hilarious. Unfortunately, because of my knee injury, he posted last night, sustained at the end of the season, I won't be able to attend the Met Gala in New York tonight, as so many people have been asking and congratulating me on. Hate to miss a historical event. I bet LeBron would have hated the Met Gala. Honestly, I think all of us would hate the Met Gala. My beautiful, powerful queen will be there holding the castle down as she always has done. So I guess his wife went instead. Met Gala was last night, folks.
Do you think, now, keep your third eye open.
Stephon Diggs was there.
Do you think that LeBron, this injury, was so he could get out of going to the Met Gala and not get out of Game 6 of
honestly,
the Timberwolves series?
If that is something we find out down the road, like, that'll be the first time I've ever liked LeBron. That'll be awesome.
He's like, actually, you know what I want to do?
Oh, my
stay game. Home, watch Netflix.
Yeah, because honestly, the Met Gala seems insufferable. Like, oh, look at me. I'm wearing some ridiculous fashion that everyone's going to clown me on. That also might have been it, too. LeBron doesn't want to go to some in some weird-ass fashion because he doesn't have the confidence that Stephon Diggs has. By the way, Sunday was May the 4th, Star Wars. Yeah, everyone did a joke. May the 4th be with you. Sorry, I don't like to enable lisps. No offense. And hey, listen, people have lisps. Try to get rid of it. Some people say I have a lisp. I don't know if I do. But if I do, I should try to get rid of it. May the 4th be with you. It's so annoying. I don't get it. I love Star Wars, too. May the 4th be with you. Stop. It does not sound like force. It sounds like fourth. Those are two different words. Grow up. And that wraps up, in case you missed it, the Paul Gallant Show, everything you missed over the weekend in sports. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Gotta say, watching more basketball last night, because listen, the Astros offense, they're not scoring. They're not getting me going. Has me wondering if they missed out. Perhaps this is an overreaction, but did the Rockets blow an opportunity this year to actually go pretty far in the NBA playoffs? We'll talk about that on the other side. But first, let me tell you about my friends at RiseHealth.com. RIZEHealth.com. Guys, Rise Health is awesome. Your boy had a receding hairline. They've helped me get it back, like all the way back. But I'm not here to talk to you about that. Rise Max is the latest product that they're bringing to the table. And if you are perhaps dealing with some struggles in the old bedroom, this could be the thing to turn it around. Why deal with the shame when you could potentially take care of this by talking online anonymously with a board-certified physician for about 5 minutes and then have something discreetly sent to your home that could potentially spice things up for you. And this is top-shelf stuff. It's combined sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin in a strip. So Rise gives you this strip. It's in a package. It's about the size of a condom. Very discreet. Easy to open. You don't need water. You don't need a pill. It doesn't melt. It doesn't break in your pocket. No, this is easy to use. You put it under your tongue. Boom. You'll be good to go in 5 minutes. RiseHealth.com. Go to that website, RIZE Health.com. 20% off your first order if you use promo code 975. Don't wait. Rise up, you'll rise up, you'll rise up with RiseHealth.com.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
the most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Astros lost to the Brewers last night 3-1, and they have the worst offense in baseball with the bases loaded. This is a fact. Seventh most opportunities, plate appearances with the bases loaded. They're hitting 114, dead last, with an OPS of 357, which is 29th, and that did them in the sixth inning. Also struggling with runners in scoring position, 15th in batting average, 16th when it comes to OPS, and now Yordan Alvarez is on the injured list. But hey, it's Jose Altuve's birthday. Happy birthday, Jose Altuve, the greatest Houston Astro of all time, and definitely Mount Rushmore of Houston athletes, along with at least Hakeem Olajuwon. We're not doing Mount Rushmore. Don't worry. We're not getting into that.
That's for next month when the Astros are two games under 500.
Damn, Sean. That's cold.
I mean, that's
cold.
That's just what happened.
It does feel like it's possible, at the very least. Hopefully, it doesn't go down that way. We were talking about LeBron James and his injury update, in case you missed it. Said Virginia Buttonweed on the Twitch, at least he gives updates about injuries, which the Astros do not. Yep, that is a fair point. That is a very fair point. Yeah, I think I'd rather hear about the injuries as opposed to feeling like I'm not being told what's actually going on by the Astros.
Yeah, and this one was especially weird because it was an injury that he got in Game 5.
Right.
While they're already down, like, 5 and then lost the series.
Yeah.
So it's like, sure. Okay. So if y'all would have won, you would have been out. Whatever. The Astros, on the other hand, are just like, hey, don't look, but he's working on something. A part of his body has discomfort.
Ugh. Anyway, that's the Astros, everybody. I think the Rockets might have missed an opportunity, and I am 100% overreacting to the first round two games that I watched last night, but they were good. Real quick around the NBA.
Basketball, give me the ball, because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball, because I'm gonna dunk it.
All right, two games last night. I think that Rockets fans might be kicking the Rockets over the trade that almost was. Was this a missed opportunity? I understand that his numbers were not great last night. He was 3-for-13 in 51 minutes with just 8 points. But he did make some key plays down the stretch. If you are a Rockets fan, would you rather have Mikal Bridges on the New York Knicks than Jalen Green right now? Again, you're talking about like a specific moment where Mikal Bridges did not look scared. And he did play the whole game. But considering he played 51 minutes to have 8 points, not great. Did the Rockets miss out on an opportunity by almost trading for Mikal Bridges?
I mean, the Rockets would still need a scorer.
Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of like true. They have the defender on lock. The defender who plays hard, they got those coming out their ear.
He did shoot 40% from three.
On what, 2-for-5?
2-for-5.
It's not good when I can just do the math of how you got to that number.
All right, fine. How about this? Did the Rockets miss out on an opportunity in a wide-open NBA this year, given that the Knicks beat the Celtics? I do think that the Celtics are totally fine. They missed 45 three-point attempts last night. There's a headline right now on ESPN with all the talking heads saying, will the Celtics' three-point obsession cost them a title? I don't think so. They are loaded. It is a game of math at this point in time. Blame Daryl Morey for that, but yeah. The Celtics play that game of math better than anyone, and I still think the Knicks are choking dogs. They did not choke last night. They did have an awesome stretch where they came back against the Celtics, who choked this game away, no doubt about it. But down the very stretch, like, Jalen Brunson had a couple of moments at the end, and I'm like, Brunson gets so much hype because he's in New York. Like, he had some really nice plays until like the last 2 minutes of the game. In the last 2 minutes, I thought he missed everything. Just a thought.
Yeah, no, that's the thing when people got mad at Becky Hammon for saying that Jalen Brunson can't be a best player on a championship team because he's too small, and people got mad at her for it, and I was like, I'm actually with her, but I think it's just because he's not good enough. I don't think it's because he's small. I think he's just not that good.
He had a wide-open layup that he missed at the end of regulation.
Yeah.
But Celtics, this was a bad game for them. as far as last night's Nuggets Thunder game, I did not think the Nuggets would have the energy after a game 7 on Saturday to take down the Thunder. They were getting killed for a lot of this game. And then they crept back in. They kept on creeping and creeping and creeping. And the next thing you know, at the very end of regulation, after the Thunder had screwed up a last-second possession, the Nuggets get out in transition. And of all people, with the game on the line and the clock running down, Russell Westbrook, who I thought for sure was going to take the last shot, passes the ball to Aaron Gordon, who ices the Thunder with a three. 121-119. The Nuggets pull off the improbable comeback and upset. By the way, Nikola Jokic, 42 points and 22 rebounds. Good God.
Pretty good.
He was so good in this one. And there were multiple moments. I had it on in the background and wasn't watching it like that attentively. Had the Astros game on too. And there were moments in this one where Jokic looked pissed off at everybody. And I think that Jokic might be single-handedly willing the Nuggets right now. Like, I don't think it's this coach that they have who, I got to say, his look does not inspire much confidence. Who's their coach now, Sean?
David Adelman.
Yeah, David Adelman. I don't know. And obviously, he's a little he's Nepo. He's Lucky Sperm Club. Because Rick Adelman, Rockets legend.
Yeah.
Much like Russell Westbrook, Rockets legend.
Of course. They can never take that year away from
us. They can't. The West looks wide open. It's a bummer the Rockets did not pull off the Game 7.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
the Thunder are the best team in the West, and this was a game against a team that had fired their coach that I think the Thunder had no business giving away. Now, if you're the Thunder, you got to be thinking really long and hard about, is this going to actually happen this year? I know it's just one game, but not a great one.
No, this is the Game 1 loss that is the least, like, I feel overreactionary to. Has some issues with it just because.
Right.
It's a team of pretty inexperienced guys. Like, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's the most experienced, and the farthest he's gone was last year, losing in the second round.
Right.
So, this isn't a super veteran group, and they did kind of just puke this game away. Like, they did the foul up three thing with way too much time left.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got the ball back. Shea just dunked it instead of running out more time and making free throws. Then they fouled when Nikola Jokic was off the court, so Nikola Jokic could come back into the game,
yeah,
which is terrible because the Nuggets didn't have any timeouts. They did so many things to lose this game where you do look at a team and you're like, oh, yeah, this is a team learning how to win in the playoffs against the best player in the league and a starting five that's been through it before.
Yeah. I like this Nuggets team. I really do. It's pretty crazy that they fired their coach after 50 wins, a 51 year. Although it was, and there were a couple of games left. Slopez 69 says it's going to be at OKC Pacers in the finals. It'll be the least watched finals ever. I mean, I don't know about that with OKC. And to what Sean was saying a moment ago, Pacers Cavs game one, some fluky elements because the Pacers shot the lights out. And Celtics Knicks game one, some fluky elements because the Celtics could not stop missing from outside.
Shut the lights on.
Yeah.
They
shut them on. I've never heard them. Yeah, you're
the
right.
The lights are too bright.
Sean Mays behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. That's a little around the NBA. Fun games last night. And maybe the Rockets blew an opportunity because this playoffs does look pretty open. Largely due to the fact that the Warriors are the veteran team left. They're very old. And all these young players, like the next generation, none of them have proven it quite yet. So maybe next year's the year for the Rockets. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. By the way, it appears that Rockets-Warriors was not officially over, at least until it was ended late last night. How? Why? You'll find out on the other side. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.